Good afternoon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our summer quarterly community safety meeting. My name is Ben Ransom. I am the crime prevention officer here at the River Forest Police Department and happy to bring you this meeting live and on Zoom. Published slides and video recording of this meeting will be made available after this presentation. We'll begin by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started with tonight's presentation, we'll have a quick word from our Chief of Police, Jim O'Shea.
Good evening, everyone. It's Tuesday evening, the 25th of July at 5 p.m. Do you know where your children are at? I'd like to just start off with a brief comment about the heat and making sure everyone's staying hydrated out there, making sure you're staying in the shade as much as possible. And if you feel dizzy or ill, please make sure you just call 911 so you can get emergency services to you. Also, I just want to mention, we have been a little disappointed this summer with the amount of bike riders, especially youth and teen bike riders, that aren't wearing helmets. The officers on the street have pointed out great concern over the increase that they feel they're seeing on the street. And we would ask that parents and kids please utilize those helmets and support others to wear those helmets also. They're lifesavers. And also the rules of the road. The Village of River Forest is becoming a very bike-friendly community. And part of that is going to be bike riders also have to follow the rules of the road. And that's to avoid cars hitting bikes, bikes hitting people, and so on and so on. So please keep that in mind, especially for the avid bike riders that are out there a couple times a day traveling through our village. Lock it or lose it. A lot of things in the village here. It's great. We have a trusting community here, but there's a lot of items that are left unlocked, unsecured, doors open, garage doors open, homes left open, and it becomes an invitation for thefts and burglaries. So please protect your valuables and remember, lock it or lose it. And lastly, alarms, locks, and lighting. This is something that Sergeant Ransom will talk about off and on. And also he'll go out and do security surveys for everyone. But if you have an alarm, you have specialized locks or locking systems, and you have a exterior lighting, it really only works if you turn them on or use them. So please, if you have those items, take it a step further and utilize those locks, lighting, and alarms. I just want to let you know tonight we're going to move into in a second a great guest speaker we're having from River Edge Hospital tonight. The community liaison, Ricky Schwartz, is here. We're also going to talk a little bit about active bystandership for law enforcement, or ABLE, and crime prevention Sergeant Ben Ransom will be handling that, as well as the community updates with regard to River Forest services provided by the police department, also upcoming events and crime trends and statistics with Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola. And at the end of the meeting, we will take any questions that come on, and we don't leave till we or come up, and we don't leave until we answer all of them. So please get your questions ready. And I'll introduce our first guest, River Edge Hospital Community Liaison, Ricky Schwartz. Are you there, Ricky?
Yes, Chief. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. And thank you, Sergeant Ransom, for the opportunity and privilege to speak before you and the community and to recognize behavioral health as an issue of our day. Especially thank you for the service that you do, or law enforcement and River Forest Police Department, for being role models. It's so important for our young people today to have role models and to be in the community and to see Sergeant Ransom out and at meetings. It's it's just endless amounts of positive reinforcement to our communities and our behavioral health in particular. So thanks. So River Edge Hospital is been around since 1963 and has seen its ebbs and flows. Today, River Edge Hospital is the largest behavioral health hospital in the state. We are a 210-bed freestanding psych facility. We provide a complete continuum of behavioral health services from inpatient to outpatient, psychiatry. We offer med management services, so people who are struggling to get in to see a psychiatrist can come to River Edge Hospital. They can pick up their medication so we don't have a lapse in care. We are also now a teaching hospital, so we really are part of the community in so many ways in the greater community, really, of behavioral health. So right now we have postdoc externs that are doing research and creating groups in our hospital, and we have med students that are rounding with our doctors. And River Edge right now is providing education and support to the community with River Edge U. We talk with educators, we talk with hospitals, with parents, with schools, communities, anywhere we can about issues surrounding mental health. So we're also one of the larger employers in the area. We employ over 350 people at the hospital. So we are very, very integrated into the community. River Edge, we have 9 specialty units in the hospital, and we offer a continuum of care throughout people's well-being. In fact, we had started doing caring calls because we were losing people through the cracks, you know, through gaps in services. So we implemented a new service with caring calls. This was some years ago. And we started calling people or scheduled calls post-discharge, 2 days post-discharge. We would try again, and then we would send caring cards. And we started filling in gaps, and we started picking up people that might have dropped out of the behavioral health system or lost their connection to the system or any myriad of things that can happen. So we were starting to pick up these types of things. So small things can make a big difference. And when it comes to behavioral health, to please be aware that small things make a big difference. Smiling at somebody, you know, one of the great stories of somebody that was about to attempt a suicide was they said, if one person will ask me if I'm okay, that's a wretched picture. Jeez. Not that I look so good. If one person would stop and ask them how they felt, what they were doing, they would not have done. They would not have attempted. They did survive the attempt. Okay, so on that, anyways, again, reflecting of the police department, you know, as role models, so great. Okay, units. I'll go quickly here. I'm sorry. We take children as young as 3-4 years old. We have separate units for adolescent boys and adolescent girls. So if the boys and the girls can't be together, you know, we have that in mind. We have a unit for co-occurring, for people who are using substances as well as struggling with perhaps a mental health issue, a psychotic break or a schizophrenic episode or struggling with anxiety. We have an intensive care unit in the hospital for people who are in the midst. So we are able to sort of have a unit in cater to where people are at, and we can move them to where they need to be. And I'd like to mention we're the only ones in the state, and anybody in your world ever, and everyone's affected. So somebody in somebody's world with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So we're the only ones in the state that have a unit that can cater to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We don't want to be the only ones in the state, but we are. So again, if somebody does need to have psych stabilization in a hospital setting, we do provide that service. We also have a general unit for separate units for men and separate women units for women who are struggling with behavioral health issues and need to be hospitalized. By the way, our average length of stay in a hospital, interestingly enough, is only 9 days. So, I mean, we really have to work quickly to stabilize. And then we do have a continuum, and we use community services to keep people in their mental health treatment world. And we also have a residential unit for young men who between the ages, I think it's 15 to 24. So we offer that as well. And then there's education provided, and then we try to move them through to their next stage. And I'd like to mention that we now have a veterans program. So if anybody in your world are veterans and they need to have stabilization, there's something new that's come on. It's called the Compact Act, so you might be familiar with it. But if it's for unfunded veterans, if you know of unfunded veterans that need psych stabilization, or if you come across a veteran who is in need of psych stabilization and is unfunded, we could look at that now, whereas before we could not. Then we also community need dictates. So we started an outpatient program some years ago to really service our inpatient population. But the demand from the community became so overwhelming that this has become a major, major hub of mental health wellness in the community now as our outpatient services. Sorry. So we like, as I mentioned earlier, psychiatry. So if you are part of our system, you can come in and maintain your psychiatry, your med management, your visits. And if you're not, then of course we can arrange that. We can service that. We have outpatient programs for children, for adolescents, and for adults. We have partial hospitalization services. So somebody doesn't want to or need to be 24 hours in a hospital, but needs full day care for stabilization. We can offer that. And we are able to offer transportation miraculously enough within a 10-mile radius. So again, our efforts are servicing our community, servicing our kids, servicing our behavioral health partners, of which we have many, River Forest Police being a great partner. I think that I have covered what I needed to cover. I am your liaison to the community. So again, my information is not there, but I can provide it in chat. So if anybody has any needs, I've worked with Ben on specific cases. We work on macro things, what systems might look like, how we can work together better as systems or individually on the micro stuff. You know, I need this now, I'm in crisis, or I know somebody in crisis that needs an intervention. So again, those types of things we can partner with you on. So please don't feel alone or helpless if you're dealing with a mental health issue, or you're dealing with somebody that is dealing with a mental health issue. There is help, and we are a conduit to that. So with that, I say thank you. If anybody has any questions, I am here.
Thank you, Ricky. Let me just check with the moderators if any questions came in. All right, no questions. If anyone does, you can contact Ricky directly or reach out to me and I can get you connected with him. And we just want to say thanks again to Ricky Schwartz and River Edge Hospital. Ricky serves on a number of multidisciplinary teams with our crime prevention unit, the Opioid Task Force, the Youth Network Council. And so we're grateful to have him as a partner in our community. Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you. Can I stay for a minute or two in here?
Yeah, absolutely. Stay for the whole thing. All right. So since Ricky's going to stick around, if any questions come in, then we'll bring those up. All right. So let's forward. I'm going to speak briefly, give an overview on the ABLE program. That stands for Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement. It's a program out of Georgetown University, Georgetown Law specifically, and it is designed for these three parts: preventing harm, transforming culture, and strengthening communities, all within the framework of law enforcement's access to the communities. So there has been a call recently for transparency, for officers to be stepping up and being active in this, what we call bystandership, this notion that if something's going on, if you see something that's wrong or maybe can be handled a better way, or if someone, a situation is escalated and that officer is in the position to put a stop to it or to step in, that's what active bystandership is. So we're going to explain that a little bit better. So let's move on to the next slide. So this ABLE program that we've adopted, we've spoken about it before, and the mission is a few parts. One is to ensure that every police officer in the United States has the opportunity to receive meaningful, effective, active bystandership training. So not all departments are actively using ABLE. In fact, it's pretty new, and we're one of a few in Illinois that is employing it. But we do see this as something that's going to be widespread across the nation, whether it's ABLE's specific training and program or something similar. The ABLE program serves as a clearinghouse for research, thoughtful and sound training materials, and model policies to support police departments in rolling out ABLE. Provides guidance to police agencies and communities that want to develop active bystandership programs and build the cultures that sustain them. Establish standards and benchmarks for the effective active bystandership programs. So this is really important because there may be officers who see a need for this in any given situation, but are they trained in it and are they able to do it effectively? And that's what ABLE stands to fix or to assist with. And then connecting ABLE partners, agencies, and communities and groups across the U.S. So since we've employed this, we have had police agencies from other parts of Illinois reach out to our department for assistance on joining ABLE because of the good things that they've heard about it and because of our representation of it. So what is active bystandership? I know these words are small on this slide, so I'll read them for you. It authorizes and empowers law enforcement to intervene in another officer's action, regardless of his or her rank. That's really important because our first group that went through this training, I believe our chief and our deputy chief were both part of that first group. So every officer in River Forest Police Department is trained on this. Everyone has gone through the training and understands that their rank doesn't really matter in this situation. If there's something going on that needs to be stopped, that our officers are empowered not only to take action, but they are educated on how to receive that intervention. It teaches officers how to successfully intervene, and it protects those who do intervene. So the stakes and the stakeholders, this is everyone who's involved in this, because this goes really farther than just our police department. It goes through all of River Forest. So community members, individuals, especially members of minority groups, law enforcement, negative interactions between residents and local law enforcement are hurting officers' careers, job satisfaction, and health and wellness. Of course, this is not specific to River Forest, but just the idea that those negative interactions can be hurtful in many areas. The community at large, relationships between communities and law enforcement are strained generally, creating distrust and harm to one another. Local government incidents between residents and local law enforcement are creating civil unrest, creating poor possessions of cities, contributing to economic hardship and community instability. And then businesses, communities where your employees live and you do business are distressed by tense relationships with law enforcement. Okay, so all of these things are encompassed by the ABLE program, and it seeks to help with all those relationships. So what is ABLE? Active bystandership for law enforcement is an evidence-based program housed within Georgetown University Law Center, empowering and educating officers to three things: prevent misconduct, reduce mistakes, and promote officer health and wellness. So this training has taken place throughout this year, and at the back end of 2022, as we rolled it out to all of our officers, and we focus on these things: preventing officer mistakes, proactively reducing mistakes, and promoting officer health and wellness. So it's also about officers learning how to take care of themselves so that they can better take care of others. It's officer supported, community supported, and it prevents problems before they arise. All about de-escalation. So it's a commitment. It's a promise to change culture. And to become part of this program, we had to have buy-in from members of our community. Organizations who wrote in letters to support our joining this program for us to be authorized through Georgetown to send our officers to become instructors and then roll it out to our department. It's not just training. It's a holistic recipe for cultural transformation in a package strongly supported by law enforcement and the communities they serve. So we have accountability, reporting, program awareness, and meaningful training, measuring efficacy, officer wellness, community support. All of those are really important. And then that follow through at the bottom of this chart here, that it's not just a training, but that's following through, and that the organizations who backed us in this also help hold us accountable. How it works, The ABLE commitment, agencies commit to 10 standards designed to foster cultural transformation. ABLE training, 8 hours of training for every officer, and then 2 hours of refresher training each year. And then ABLE culture requires, I can't read it. Dedicated program support and meaningful communication plan, which is part of what Georgetown University has rolled out to us. So they really gave us the structure for this program, and they made it really easy to teach and to learn. And it's all about just bringing the officers in on the program, which went really well in all of our training sessions. So with the studies and employed, these are evidence-based results. It's based on decades of research and field studies by Professor Emeritus Irvin Staub and other experts. He's the one that coined the term bystandership. And it has existed prior to this under a program called EPIC, which was specific to the New Orleans Police Department. It has been modernized and has grown since then to become ABLE active bystandership. So a lot of this was based on studies that our officers sat in on and went over case studies with scientific experiments on how the brain works and how people react to trauma and how they react to standing in for someone or recognizing when a situation dictates the need to act, and also on their taking care of each other and recognizing the need in other officers' need for help, whether something is going on in a specific situation or something going on in that officer's personal life that is affecting the way that they're working. So all of this is really important into going into rolling this program out. How can you help? So how can you help? Community members can educate themselves by going to law.georgetown.edu/ABLE. Faith organizations, community organizations can all get involved to help us in this endeavor, which we anticipate we will continue to abide by those 10 pillars and to continue to be ABLE participants for as long as we're around. So this is really just the beginning of this this new part of the Reforest Police Department. We're happy to kind of be pioneers in our area for it, and happy to assist others who are looking to join the cause. So again, that's the ABLE program from Georgetown Law. Feel free to do some research on it or reach out to our crime prevention unit to ask more questions on how that looks day to day in our Reforest Police Department. So moving on, we have some community updates. And the first one is that the Junior Citizens Police Academy is kicking off in 2 weeks, August 7th to 11th. And we have 30 attendees, members of the community from the Oak Park Police Department and River Forest Police Department joining together for a week to give the cadets a great experience, a lot of instruction, similar to what a police officer would experience at the Real Police Academy, a lot of guest speakers and guest presentations, a field trip in there, and some other surprises for the cadets. So it's for ages 10 to 15, anyone involved in the community here in River Forest or in Oak Park. And we are co-hosting it with Sergeant Tracy Love from Oak Park Police Department. Spots are, of course, filled. They fill quickly in the summer. So if you are interested in getting your child into the program for next year, you can contact our crime prevention unit and get yourself on the interest list for the 2024 Academy. Quick reminder that there's multiple free services offered by our police department. Two that we're highlighting today is the residential security surveys that the chief mentioned. Our crime prevention unit will come out to your house for free, walk you through a checklist, take a look at your house, and make recommendations on security opportunities for your house. It might be some minor things, some major things, and prioritizing what can get fixed now and what should be addressed right away. Another thing I want to highlight is we still have the free steering wheel locks for our Kia and Hyundai owners provided by the manufacturers. All you have to do is come in, show proof of your residency and your vehicle information, and we happily give out those locks to our residents who are in need of those. For anything else that we offer or for any other updates, remember to go to www.vrf.us and click the Get News at the top right. And you can sign up for our electronic newsletter. That's the Get News right there. All right. So any questions on those or other questions on our free services, please reach out to me, Sergeant Ransom, at bransom@vrf.us, and I will connect you with our services. And now I will turn this over to Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola for a crime update.
Thank you, Ben. One thing I will mention is that Sergeant Ransom, he did mention the fact about the free safety locks there for the motor vehicles. Unfortunately, over the last couple of months, we did have a couple of stolen motor vehicles, and primarily those were Kias or Hyundais that fortunately we've been able to recover. Typically, we have been recovering those in the city of Chicago, and typically those vehicles have been used in other crimes, and that's kind of what we're seeing right now is that these young individuals are stealing cars, typically Kias and Hyundais, and committing some of their violent acts, and they're not just sticking here to River Forest. They're obviously all over Oak Park, Forest Park, and the city of Chicago, so that's something that we definitely keep an eye on. Going back to something that I mentioned at the last quarterly meeting, we do see an increase in bike thefts and burglaries and crimes of opportunity when they may arise, when we have folks that are going to be walking around the neighborhood at night. If you do see something that you feel is out of place, we always encourage folks to go ahead and give us a call. Okay, let us go ahead and check it out and before it's too late. I know for trends, and it's always been something that's been a hot topic, and that's something that we are fortunate enough that it's not occurring so often here in the village of River Forest, but some of our other areas, we have seen a decrease probably in the hijackings, but an increase of the motor vehicle thefts. And with that being said, these individuals are committing other crimes, like I discussed before, in those stolen cars. So I do encourage you to go ahead and come in and get one of those anti-theft devices that we have here, that we have to offer. Other than that, typically this is the point where I do get some questions if any folks are in the audience or any folks are watching right now, some things that they've heard around the community that I can probably give you an answer to, or maybe discredit some sort of rumors that you may have heard or something along that. So at this point in time, I don't really have anything new, but if there are any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them in person or in the portal. Yes, ma'am.
So the last crime committed at this property was in our street. So I live right across from the dialysis, and I feel that it gets a lot of people from out of our town there. But I see, because I'm off in the summer, and wait for the people that are being treated. So they are checking who is in, how, and what time. So when that crime happened on our block, I thought, might be somebody that knew the routine of some of us that we did at that stage. So they see for the long time waiting. You know, so I just want to bring that up, that for me, it's nice that getting to them there, but it's an area that, I mean, I'm the one probably most of the time calling because I see something suspicious, which is, you guys are great, check it out, but I just want to bring that up to your attention.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. And yes, we do see folks there. And if they are dropping off a family member, we know that dialysis treatment does take a long period of time. So they are there for an extended period of time, going in and out of the office, getting fresh air, getting something to drink, something along those lines. I do know some of the crimes that you've mentioned recently. Fortunately, we were able to get some fantastic latent prints on those. So that is being developed as we speak right now. And again, some other things that we've done, we've placed decoy squad cars outside in those areas. We'll put extra watches and make sure that we increase our patrols in those areas. And we typically don't wait for the crimes to actually occur. We try to be proactive in that and knowing the fact that there are certain areas that either maybe they're darker in town, maybe they're not as well lit in that sense, and maybe we need extra patrols in that area. We know where things are busy in some of our side streets going, you know, maybe up and down Madison Street or in the middle of town, let's say from Lake Street to Augusta in the middle of town there, because it's so dark at night. We spent some extra time in those areas as well. So being very familiar with your block, haven't been here for 19 years. We fill up gas right next door to our public works building, and it's very well lit, you know, in that area. So we do focus on some of those things. So that being said, in probably my 19 years, anything that you've heard over the last couple of weeks with a couple of folks in a backyard, more so an isolated incident. Again, fortunately, the crime scene technicians that were working that day did develop some really good prints. So all those prints are being examined right now at the Illinois State Police, the Forensic Science Laboratory. Okay. Do you have any other questions? Yeah, and that's good. Luke, anything else come in? Okay, thank you.
So this is the time of the meeting. We'll see if any questions come in online or additional questions from the audience. Just to mention, that area of town is where our public works building is, and there is a very vast camera system that the public works department does have an operation there, which also complements the street cameras along Madison and Washington, as well as license plate readers that are on the streets, including Lake Street specifically, and also that are on some of the squad cars. Our camera program will be expanding later on this year or early 2024 to cover the area between Division and North Avenue and Thatcher and Harlem. And that will basically almost complete a full coverage between North Avenue and Madison and Harlem and Thatcher with regard to our use of technology, which we believe is a force multiplier. And regarding the incident that Detective Sergeant Labriola talked about, we have the ability to also locate people as they're walking away or entering into vehicles, sometimes not right at the location where the crime's been committed, but with that description on our street camera systems as they've come into town or are exiting in town. And I'll check with the honorable moderator that's with us tonight to see if any questions have come in. And if not, what I'd like to do is turn it over to Sergeant Ransom. For some of you, you might wonder why he's being called Sergeant Ransom now. The last meeting, the quarterly crime prevention meeting, we are very honored to say that Officer Ransom is now Sergeant Ransom. And we're very excited to see him move up within the organization. And let's bring him up to close out the meeting this evening.
Just one final thing to reiterate, something that you mentioned. Thank you for being here. You mentioned that you're probably the one who's always calling, and we just want to encourage everyone that if you see something, just call. It's not a problem. Like you said, we're already patrolling that area a lot, but if we have more information to go on or something that is taking you off that something is going on or tipping you off, I should say, and you feel like something needs to be checked out, by all means, give us a call. And when in doubt, call 911 first if you can't decide if it's an emergency, not an emergency. We want to encourage you to get us out on our way sooner than later. That is going to conclude our meeting tonight. Thank you, everyone, for attending in person and online. And we do try to do this a little bit earlier in the summer because we know people have busy schedules on the summer hours. So thank you for being here. And we will look forward to seeing you in October for our fourth crime prevention meeting. Thank you and good night.